of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. A beautiful weekend. Oh, my God. I have to open the lock on that gate. Get me out. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Michael Mooring. Good morning, Michael. Nice to see you there. A little beard going.
Yeah, happening. I got a little quarantine beard going.
Very nice. Yeah. Now that I can see you. Holy mackerel. And Derek Brandale, beardless, I think. I don't know. We don't see each other, so we'll see. We will guide you through the outdoors this wonderful weekend. We will do our best to keep you on the sidewalk. Do not step on the grass, please. Wonderful program we have in store for you. A couple of quick notes first. As you know, those of you who listen every week, you know I give you a quick note right now about fishingcanada.com and all the free goodies. The sweepstakes that is sweeping the nation. Coast to coast. It's the fishingcanada.com boat, motor, trailer, and extra motor giveaway. We are giving away a Mercury four-stroke 2.5 outboard motor every single month, every month between now and December, every 30 days. In fact, the first of June giveaway is right around the corner, mere days away. All you have to do is go to fishingcanada.com, enter said contest, answer skill testing question, drop ballot in the virtual drum, and Bob is your uncle, or whoever your uncle is. Who's your uncle, Mike? Who would be your uncle?
My uncle's Wayne. Shout out to Uncle Wayne.
Shout out to Uncle Wayne. There you go. All right, Uncle Wayne. Make sure you get your ballot in there, Uncle Wayne. I checked. Last time I looked, you weren't there.
You know what? He could use a boat.
Could he?
But then again, who couldn't?
Well, it's funny you say that, because right after you dropped the ballot in for the Mercury 2.5 four-stroke wonderful engineered outboard motor, don't leave yet, because right next to it is another ballot you can drop in a box for a complete outfit. If you need more than just the motor, you can win the Mercury motor. In this case, it's a 20-horsepower fuel-injected, all the latest toys and gadgetry on it, four-stroke, obviously. But it's bolted on to a Princecraft Yukon 14-foot WT model, by the way. What is a WT model? Did I hear you say that, Mike? Did you ask that question?
Yeah, I was thinking it.
Yeah.
You're that good.
See, it's a walkthrough.
A walkthrough.
It's a walkthrough, so you don't have to step over things.
Right.
The center of the boat is open. The seats are all on the sides.
That's right. It's convenient.
And it's a WT. That's why they call it WT. Yeah. It's a Princecraft Yukon WT. And it sits atop a beautifully crafted custom Princecraft trailer designed just for that very package.
Does your generosity know no bounds?
Pretty much. I would say so, Mike.
Got everything.
It's all free.
Yeah.
I don't know that I mentioned that or not. It's free of charge. All you do is go to fishingcanada.com, answer a skill testing question, which, by the way, if you do not know the answer, and who doesn't know the answers to Fishing Canada trivia? Let's be honest about it.
If you've been paying attention.
But there may be. Let's be honest, there may be some.
Everyone gets stumped every now and
right.
again.
Right. So we have provided a little button that's called Hint. Hint. You push the hint button, and it takes you to the very spot where the answer to the question that stumped you in the first place is. And you take that, transpose it back over to the contest page. You're done. You move on for the day. Well, assuming you've already done the other contest.
Yeah,
you've done both,
yeah,
right? Then you're gone for the day, and we don't want to hear from you the rest of the day. But the next day, you need to come back and do the same thing.
Do it all again.
You know why? Because the more ballots you have in the box, in the drum, the better your chances of winning. It's simple math. It doesn't get any better than that. And who during these days, troubled days, would not like some good news of winning
exactly.
something? Well, I know I would. I'll tell you that right now. All righty. Did I do good on that one?
Perfect. Perfect. I have no notes.
And where was that? Fishingcanada.com.
Fishingcanada.com.
That's F-I-S-H-N.
That's right.
Canada.com, not Ing. Fishin.
Yeah.
N.com. Ooh, what a program we have in store for us today. This is exciting. We've got some great guests. One story that I'm just dying to talk about here, it's sort of the elephant in the room, if you will. There have been numerous reports since this pandemic forced us into isolation and lockdown. There have been numerous reports of animal sightings in urban areas and places where animals have not been seen before. The one that sticks to mind the most, and I know it's far away from here, is that the Mediterranean Sea all of a sudden has all of these wonderful sea mammals like dolphins and whales that have come back. Venice has not seen mammals like that for apparently 100 years, and now they're back within the city canals. So, and these are just, that's just one example. There's numerous cases all around the world of, have you seen any animals around your place, Mike?
Nothing out of the ordinary, yes.
So, I mean, like deer and stuff like
no,
that?
No, but I mean, I've been kind of shackled inside.
Yeah.
I'm paranoid. I got my tinfoil hat on, the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Covered the windows up. And
distressed for 2 months solid. This is the only reason you got me here this morning is because we have a pane of glass that's divided.
Exactly.
So I feel.
And we appreciate you coming in this morning, by the way.
No problem. So
there's all kinds of sightings going on. I was reading this morning about a pair of foxes that have bred a litter or a is it a litter for foxes? Whatever it is, whatever, a number of six little kittens. Funny, oddly enough, fox children are not called puppies. They're kits. Do you not find that odd?
I mean,
foxes is more of a canine than it is feline, right?
I suppose that's right.
Okay, well, I've got somebody coming on the program who can answer all those questions, including that one. You know, he's going
to
answer whether we're going crazy or we see animals in places we are not used to seeing animals. Our good friend, Dr. Brent Patterson, will be joining us. He is a research science in the Wildlife Research and Monitoring Section of the Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry. Let's not forget that. They've added that to his list of duties. He'll be joining us to give us his perspective on this. You know, are we going crazy? Or, in fact, is the world correct in reporting all of these animal sightings in normally urban settings? We'll find out. Then we are going to be, this man has not been on the program. He'll correct me because he knows all this stuff. He keeps notes, right? Meticulous notes. I don't think he's been on the program for a couple of years, maybe a little bit longer. His name is Phil Morlock. He is the Vice President of Government Affairs and Advocacy for the U.S. and Canada for Shimano North America Holdings, Inc. And he joins us today, not necessarily, although he always brings good cheer and wonderful entertainment when he comes on the program, but he's retiring. He's retiring in a matter of weeks.
Really?
Yeah, he's one of those guys, if you know him and you see him, he's like, that guy will never retire. Like, what's he going to retire from? It's like me. People ask me, when are you going to retire? And I say, what am I going to do, go fishing? Like, what? So, anyway, da-da-dum. A little drum roll. Da-da-dum. That would have been nice enough. But anyway, that's okay. I'm not gonna put pressure on you early in the morning, Mike. It's all right. Yeah, Phil Morlock, our good friend, is going to be on the program to talk to us about many things. But most importantly, I want to talk to him about retirement and what that's going to look like. Oh, my God. We'll talk to him about that. On April 2nd, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans Canada pulled at-sea observers. I didn't even know that these guys existed, by the way. This is an interesting story. At-sea observers from fishing vessels due to the coronavirus outbreak and the pandemic. And the at-sea observer program, which used to provide independent third-party verification of commercial fishing harvest. So, you know, all the quotas and the harvest restrictions on fishing, commercial fishing, right? So you always wonder, well, how do they know if a guy's got an extra couple hundred pounds in the boat or, you know, an extra cod under the seat or whatever, you know? Well, apparently these guys do, and they've been pulled off these boats. So the question is, so what's going on out there? Are we having at it? We don't know. We'll find out. Joining us in a little while will be Darren Goodsu. Goodzu. He is the Director General of Conservation and Protection for the DFO. He'll join us and talk to us about how that program is working out and any pitfalls and when they plan on getting back to work and that type of thing. And speaking of seafood and commercial harvest, this is interesting. You know, sometimes we take things for granted. So we're all hunkered down. We're not allowed to go to restaurants, no sporting events, no getting together, no barbecues. Like, it's just like everything is gone. And so the first thing we think of, oh my God, poor me. It's like, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do? I can't go next door and have a beer anymore. You know, that kind of thing, which is all well and good. But sometimes we forget just how the ramifications of us being locked up. What does that mean? Well, one of the things it means, of course, is that restaurants have been shut down. And that in itself is bad enough. But how about the people who supply products to these restaurants? And more importantly, food. And in our case, fish. What's happening to those people? Joining us a little later on the program is Jane Graham. And she is the executive director of the Ontario Commercial Fisheries Association. And we'll talk about the impact that COVID-19 is having on that sector of the industry, which is mind-boggling when you hear some of the details and stuff. So we've got a lot of ground to cover, my friends. But first, let's have a little behind-the-scenes look at the nationally seen and acclaimed The Fishing Canada Show on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast, where it's been for almost 40 years. 40 years. I was a teenager when we started that.
Hard to believe. Hard to imagine.
Sort of. I mean, yeah. It could have been. In a different parallel universe, maybe. But it's almost four decades old on Global Television Network. And if you were there right now watching the program, you would see an episode called Golden Eagle Smallies. And it's a wonderful episode because it features, me, Michael. It features me.
The one and only.
Finally.
Finally.
Know? Good
yeah.
Lord. It's always about somebody else. Well, this one isn't even about me. I'm in it, but it's not about me.
Yeah,
about...
yeah, of course, you have to share the spotlight.
Exactly, with my grandson, Nicky V. Anyway, it's a great episode. We go smallmouth bass fishing on the Montreal River, which I had never fished before. And quite honestly, I didn't know much about, but I do now, let me tell you, just as the audience watching the program know a lot about it now as well. We go through the ups and downs of a grandfather, a parent, or some sort of guardian taking a child out fishing and instructing them on the do's and don'ts of the fishing world. A great episode you do not want to miss. It's called Golden Eagle Smallies, and it's on Global Television Network as we speak. Of course, if you're listening to this program, you might not be watching that show. So what would they do, Mike? Oh, look at you. You're like a deer in the headlights.
Well, of course, go to fishingcanada.com.
That's right, because all of the details, all the information you need to know how you could access that particular program is all there on fishingcanada.com. And, of course, while you're there at fishingcanada.com, don't forget, outboard motor, boat motor trailer, waiting for your ballot to be dropped in the box today. Alrighty then, time to move along. Boy, we're just breezing through today's program, Michael. I love it. You're on fire today, aren't you? Hey, how long ago was it you did this program? When was the last time you did this program?
It's been a little while, probably a couple months. I lose track of time. The days mean nothing anymore, actually. Yeah.
How do you like doing the program? I have to ask you, on the mic here, I have witnesses.
It's a love-hate relationship. I have a lot of fun with it. It's also nerve-wracking.
You know, it's funny you say that. You're not the only technician who has done the program that said they're nervous, and I can never understand it.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not frightened right now?
No.
At this very moment?
Why would
you're
I
not
be why would
mortified?
Why would I be frightened? I've got my good safety expert right next to me. I mean, he knows everything there is to know about protecting you in the outdoors.
That's true.
His name is Bradley Slorf. Time to play it safe, folks, with retired staff sergeant from the OPP. Bradley, good morning. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Mike, get over it.
Attaboy. That's it. Get right to the point. Get over it. What a beautiful weekend, Brad.
This looks like a great day to see if my lawnmower will start up.
Oh, boy. I got a bad feeling about that lawnmower today. Maybe you should put it off for another weekend.
No, no. If I wasn't going turkey hunting first thing this morning, I'm thinking the lawnmower is going to get a working out.
You picked the perfect day for it, buddy. That's for sure. The Ottawa police officers have been talking about this past May long weekend, and it was kind of a weird, wacky, obviously totally different than anything any of us, including the OPP, have ever experienced before. Maybe you can shed some light on that.
I got to give a shout out to the Ottawa Police Marine and Trails Unit. They do a really, really good job. Like, everything they do is done the right way, and they're pretty diligent. They don't have a huge, big area. They got lots of waterways in the new city of Ottawa, but they do a good job there. So on the weekend, they checked 157 boats. Half of the vessels that they checked, people wound up getting pinched for something.
Whoa!
That's a horrendous compliance rate.
What's the normal rate, do you know, Brad?
Oh, probably about that. So this will be like tickets for having liquor in the boat. It'll be for not enough PFDs. Those are the two most common things that happen when the police check a boat in Canada, is that those things are missing. But half of the boats that they check, the people needed to have a ticket. That's a very high rate, and maybe that means that because of the whole COVID thing or something, people have gotten a little lax. I don't know, or they haven't been out in their boats often enough. They're in a big rush and couldn't remember to bring everything except for the cooler full of beer. It's hard to say, but that's not a very good story when the non-compliance rate is 50% of the boats they check.
I see there's a continuation of that list of things, the violations that took place. No pleasure craft operator card is on that list. Failure to transfer a vessel license. Yeah, you know what? That one I could kind of live with, maybe. You know, I mean, people are busy now. Oh, no, they're not busy. No, I forgot. They're not busy at all right now. Okay, so.
Well, in times past, like with the old E numbers on the boats and stuff like that, the boats would swap around, small ones particularly, repeatedly, and nobody would bother to update the licensing information. But now it's fairly simple. So, and the other thing is that now the information about that license is computerized, like cars, finally. It took forever to get that done. So it's very easy for that police officer to investigate, guess what? You haven't changed the ownership on this thing.
And I see speeding is in there, too. What else is new? No fire extinguisher on some of the bigger boats, obviously, over 21 feet, I believe it is.
Yep.
Failure to control wake. That's an interesting one. Because it's always interesting to know, is it a speed thing or is it a wake thing? And most people, because there's two separate concerns, right? There's speeding, there's actual speed zones that you cannot go beyond a certain speed. And then there's no wake zones, which means it doesn't matter what speed you're going, you must not put a wake out, which is very difficult to determine, by the way, I have to tell you. You know, what's a wake?
What people need to remember that they've always been and always are, no matter what, the signs that are stuck up someplace, they're responsible for their wake. And, back in the day when I was in the real policing world, in Midlands area, for instance, tons and tons of speed zones. And the problem is that some boats traveling right at that, whichever the speed zone is, 9 kilometers an hour, throw more wash than if they're going a lot faster. So people need to kind of find the sweet spot of their own boat, too, just because a speed limit is set, like on the highway. If it says it's 100 kilometers an hour, it doesn't mean you have to go exactly 100 kilometers an hour. So the boat's the same thing. You need to know what your boat's going to do. If it's going to throw a huge, big wake that you could surf off at the back at that speed limit, then go a little slower.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, my friend, we're going to get you going a little faster on that lawnmower. I need you now. I've changed my mind. I need you to be at it all morning. How's that?
You see, there you got Mike behind the glass. You're just clip, clip, clipping along. You'll be all done the whole show at 9:15.
Thanks, buddy. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You too. Talk to you later.
Bradley Slorf playing it safe. There you go. 50% of the vessels that were approached this past the long weekend were actually in violation of something and they got charged. More journal after this. Don't you dare go away.